after your mother died, you really picked up an intense study to try to find some natural cures to cancer, didn't you?
I did, and the first book I picked up was by Edward Griffin, entitled World Without Cancer, and I'm telling you, that is an education right there. That's a real eye-opener about what's really going on with our cancer establishment.
Don't ask me why, but I have always thought, even when I was younger, I'm talking about in my teens, that everybody possesses cancer cells. It's your resistance, your body's ability to keep it in bay, keep it at bay. That's the difference between who gets it and who doesn't.
That's exactly right. But we're going to talk about what that system is, because no one's ever explained that before, have they?
No, not at all.
That's why we're here tonight.
Now, let's get into where we left off before the break got us, and that is some of these real causes and cures of cancer. And you were talking about the cell energy. Let's explain that a little bit more.
Okay, we're gonna dive right down into this right now. I mentioned right before the break that the med schools aren't being taught this, nor is oncology itself aware of this. And this is what we're going to dive right into right now. Imagine this, George. We have 100,000 mutations that occurs each and every single day in every single one of our cells, just in the nuclear core of the cells where the genes are. And at the age of 25, if you're healthy, you repair all of those mistakes each day. Now,
That's
100,000 times 75 trillion human cells. That's 75 with 17 zeros after it. Okay? That's a half a billion times more mistakes repaired than the national debt that we have.
That old body's working around the clock, isn't it?
Exactly. So what is that system? What is that system that operates at near quantum speeds that can repair, that, as you stated, can go in and clean up where there's a little cancer cell here and there when it does arise?
It's like a virus software for a computer.
Exactly. It's that fast, too. So this is what's not been studied in the halls of our cell physiology until a small group of extremely dedicated biophysicists started picking up the study when they met Max Gerson, who had a cure for cancer that was actually studied by the U.S. Senate in 1947. I'll get into that in a little while. But they took up the study because they had just invented the most advanced form of MRI devices known at the time, called the phonar. And Dr. Damodian, who is an MD, PhD from Harvard, had invented this MRI, and they determined that they couldn't visualize the cancer on their software imaging compared to normal cells. This is really cool information.
Yeah.
So they hired these biophysicists, and they said, look, we can see in detail the normal healthy tissue, but when we run across a cancer, we can't see it. It's all blurry. And these biophysicists figured out that the water was different inside the tumor compared to normal body water. So as a result of that, the idea of water being this gel state, being this high gain energy state for cells, came to be known. And it's still being underexposed today in the cell physiology journals, which is very, very unfortunate. That one bit of information, that water is differently shaped in healthy cells, would transform the entire way that we treat cancers, but also the way in which that we can avoid iatrogenesis, which is to use a drug for the proper disease in the proper amount, and yet it induces illness. Because that's not being done when we develop our drugs, and including chemotherapy, we're not seeing how or why or how to prevent those drugs causing harm to the normal human cell.
No, not at all. Why is it, too, during an operation with someone who has cancer, the minute you open them up, it seems like oxygen hits these cells, these cancer cells, and they're gone fast?
Yes, exactly what my mom said. She was in charge of the operation theater in Evanston, Illinois. And she was the top nurse there.
She witnessed everything.
Oh, yeah. And whenever they opened up someone, they were full of a few tumors. They just closed them up because they knew that, you know, the person had much longer to live. But there's a lot of reasons why that air exposure, specifically oxygen, under the right conditions, can be extremely healing and can reverse cancer.
Ah, okay.
But that's part of an entire program that we're talking about now. So getting back to this one point, because we're almost there, if we were able to identify what that system is in our body that could repair that 7.5 quintillion mutations that occurs each day in our bodies. And we could treat that. Our own bodies then would fix the cancer, wouldn't it?
They should.
Exactly.
That's dramatic.
Okay, so let's get, as I said, at the very end of the 1800s, they had a choice to make in cell physiology. They could either go with the well-traversed and well-visited studies of salt chemistry and organic chemistry and even biochemistry, or they could go with colloidal chemistry, which was very difficult to understand because the movement of particles in the gel state takes place at such rapid speeds, it defies normal analysis, especially back then.
And what do you mean by colloidal chemistry?
Things that are suspended in a solution rather than dissolved in solution. So let me give you an example, because you're right on track. Let's look at Einstein in 1904. He, with a mathematician, got together to prove that atoms existed. And he took some special type of ink that didn't dissolve in water, but suspended itself in water.
And
you could see it under a microscope, and these little tiny particles of ink in balls would form, and they would start shaking. And the smaller that the ball was of the ink, the faster the shaking occurred. Well, imagine that you reduce that down to the size of an atom, the smallest unit. That thing is shaking just as much, producing just as much energy almost as it is a piece of matter.
Okay.
That's called quanta. That's what life is, and that's being missed in cell physiology today.
Are any doctors looking at this?
Yes, fortunately there are. Max Gerson was the first. He didn't know that he was actually doing it to the extent that I'm explaining it now, but based upon his work, after World War II, the Senate, Congress actually got together and declared war against cancer. It was the first war against cancer. And they brought him in because he had some astounding results with terminal cancer patients. He had all their files, all their x-rays, all the surgery reports, all their past treatments. And five of his best cases actually walked in with him into the Senate chambers. When he finished his presentation, the Senate was ready to fund his method with full funding so that probably today we wouldn't have this problem of cancer. That night, three senators were approached by special interests, and they refused to vote for him the next day. That one evening was historic in terms of how we approach cancer.
The lobby took over, right?
The lobby took over, right?
It happens time and time again, John.
Well, he got somewhat reprieved in the late 70s when Gilbert Ling and Francis Cope from the research facility that Dr. Damodian had put together picked up the baton and brought this forth in the peer-reviewed medical literature, specifically in cell physiology. They have proven that the cell is a gel with this funny type of water, and they know exactly how that special type of water is made, and with the ingredients being present, that's how these mistakes in our genes and in our cells of our body, the internal parts of the cell as well as the outside of the cells, repair themselves each and every single day.
And can this happen with anybody? If we're going to have you just outline this for us tonight, but can cells be repaired in anybody?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.